Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. I am wearing the colors this week, as they say. Licking our wounds, watching Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes do Super Bowl stuff and realizing that we had a good time here 20 years ago this week. I have been gathering old pictures and memories and people and different stuff and sharing it all out on social media. And I'm finding old teammates and old friends from Super Bowl 35. Chris Redman has been my friend from the very beginning. I got some old fun pictures of you and I, Reds. Welcome in. How are things down in the bluegrass state there?
A little cold like it is in Baltimore, but it's going great. Can't complain, and good to see you, Nestor. I appreciate you having me on.
How's your golf game? Good?
Not bad. I mean, I haven't played in a while, but I got a little trip headed west coast, played a little Pebble Beach coming up here for too long, so I got to get back at it.
Well, don't stare at the ocean out there too long, all right? You'll lose sight of the ball, right? 20 years, man. Like, I don't think there's been anybody that I've gotten on with, whether it's players, coaches, and you're about the 10th, 12th person I've talked to from your team who hasn't said, man, 20 years. Like, how – our parents told us it was going to be like this, right?
I know. It happens really fast. I mean, you get caught up in family, and next thing you know, kids, and I'm chasing kids around, and 20 years, but, you know, it's great. I've actually kind of started to talk to some more guys here recently from the team a little bit. Sam Adams is one of them that I spent some time. We're doing a little bit of business together. So,
Sam, I haven't seen Sam in 20 years.
Sam is doing great, and he's another guy that's he's an owner of a – I'm involved in a IFL team, which is a new – it's a league that's kind of going to hopefully take over for the AFL. It's an indoor football league is what it stands for. And he's an owner of a team out in Spokane. So it's a pretty cool deal. I'm excited.
How many teams in the league?
So right now we have 12, and then, you know, but we're looking to expand and keep growing, and it's moving really fast. I'm real excited about it.
Well, I mean, there's opportunities. People love football, right? And I guess COVID is a bit of this downtime right now. Give me a little, like, before we even reminisce, I mean, you're obviously still very much involved in football, as many of you are. Some folks have gone off to the farm. I talked to Smitty the other day. He's on some mountaintop in the middle of Tennessee somewhere, so he sends his best as well. And I can even talk to you a little bit about your Falcons journey down there as well. But, you know, in the current world, how old are your kids? I don't even know. Give me a little life. A life up,
13 you know. And 11, and we're having a ball. It's a fun age, and my son's he'll be going into high school next year. My daughter's going into middle school, so we're in the real times now. So it should be fun.
Playing ball of some kind. What do they do?
Yeah, we play everything. We don't just get locked into one sport. I mean, we played from golf, tennis, football, basketball. We're in basketball season right now. My daughter, she's into field hockey and tennis, and it's fun just to watch them grow up and learn. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, it's been a weird time for parenting and kids playing sports. You've been various places here. We've canceled the basketball season. So sport dependent, age dependent. Obviously you're a college football guy, right? I mean, Unitas winner, the whole deal. What a weird season. I mean, imagine if this happened to you in the middle of your run back in the late 90s.
Yeah, you just never know how life's going to work out. And you feel it's unfortunate for some guys that probably won't get an opportunity potentially to maybe play at the next level because they didn't get to showcase as much as they probably should have. And I mean, look at some of the West Coast leagues and stuff, the Pac-10, they didn't come in till late. And I was kind of surprised they did come in. And I'm just really happy that, you know, the STC and ACC, they said, hey, no, we're going to go out and play, set the standard. And cause football is a big deal in this country. And we're just really glad that we figured a way out. We fought through it. We didn't just take the easy way out. It was obviously a tough year, but man, you know, we got football in, and I think that's what kind of got us through this crazy time. I really do. I think football is a big part of it.
Well, I'll come back to Brady and Mahomes and get to that, but let's just get to 20 years, right? Like 20 years later, you got a ring, memories, stories, teammates, relationships, all of that. Yeah. I got to ask everybody, you know, memories of that time. And obviously you, a passenger along for the ride, you were a kid, man. I got pictures to prove it.
Yeah, you know, what's funny is I tell a lot of people is, you know, Trent Dilfer, when he broke his hand during the game or whatever, he was, you know, they came to me, and Tony Banks had a, you know, this is during the Super Bowl game, and they came to me. I was taking snaps from Mike Flynn in halftime, like, hey, get ready. You go from like, oh man, I'm enjoying the, you know, the life here, the Super Bowl, to like, okay, I got to get focused on the game plan. You know, it's not all about Hulk Hogan being on the front row. It's about actually getting focused in and you know, finishing this. We had a lead, but it wasn't a crazy lead, you know, at halftime. So I was anticipating and finishing that Super Bowl game, which I played three plays that year. And so against Cincinnati, and or I think three pass attempts, I guess that's all it was. But it was a crazy game. And I remember right at the end, Kerry Conn, everybody was putting their Super Bowl hats on and their jerseys, and I had my helmet on. I was just ready to go in and finish the game out because I was supposed to come in next. And he had the longest 2-minute drive ever and milked the clock out. But at the end of the day, man, what an experience. What a great time. You know, I get the, you know, some of my closest friends like Brandon Stokely and some of those guys should be able to get to share that experience with. And I'll never forget it. It gives me an opportunity to have a ring. And then I get to, when I'm speaking to little kids, I always pass my ring around and let them all look at it. Because a lot of people in Louisville, Kentucky don't see many Super Bowl rings. And so it's been a really great experience. Feel very blessed to be a part of that team. And you know, I can't thank all the guys enough for being a part of that.
Well, Stokely's supposed to come on in 13 minutes. I probably should have got you guys the same Zoom room. I keep forgetting how well you all know each other and how many layers of relationship. The last time Stokely came by, like at a Super Bowl, we had John Ogden on the set. So they sat down and talked about Trent and talked about the next year. You were part of that transition, Elvis and all of that. Yep. You're older now. You were a backup quarterback and spent some time playing in Atlanta, and you had Mike Smith on. And give me the dynamic of all of that, because I think what we're seeing Tom Brady do, and I think even going back to anytime there's a quarterback controversy or what's happened in Philadelphia in recent, if you name any franchise, it's happened everywhere. It happened to your franchise in the middle of it, where you were in the middle of it, in the middle of the room, and they're trying to figure this whole thing out. And then all of a sudden you win a Super Bowl, right? And you're linked to all this through all these years. You know, harmony and disharmony and competitive talents, all of you want to play, no matter who's in a quarterback room, right? You all were the best in high school, the best at college and whatever. It's a whole different gig at the NFL level. And I think for you and anyone else, that step up's enormous. And then Tom Brady goes from the same draft as you and goes on here. He's playing this week, right?
That's amazing. Yeah, to him play that long. And yeah, it's a crazy dynamic because you obviously want to get out there and play. I mean, the more I look back at it now, like that style, it's amazing now that teams and, you know, offensive coordinators are kind of changing what they do for what the quarterback can do. And so now they kind of adapt and adjust to how a player, and obviously we've seen that with Lamar. We've seen that with a lot of teams that, you know, they back in the day, it was more like, hey, you do it my way or it's the highway. And it's great to see the league evolve that way, because I think that's, you know, I think your players dictate on what you should do to be successful. And I think that's, something that, you know, I kind of wish would happen in my, I was a shotgun. I came from, you know, 95% of my plays in shotgun in college, and then go to, you know, we're barely in the shotgun on third down in Baltimore. So it was a crazy change. And that dynamic was very tough for me. And I didn't realize it at the time. You know, I was just like happy to be a part of a professional organization. But now I'm just kind of looking and like, you know, it was a tough fit.
If you could have gone into Matt Cavanaugh and said, we're going to run shotgun because that's what I'm good at. Let's run this. It improves your chances.
My eyes would have lit up. It's like, hey, we're going to actually throw the ball on first down. I would have been really, really excited about, you know, what we were doing and stuff. But you know, I wanted to be, I'm a team player too. And I was like, hey, I was happy to just be playing on Sundays. And now looking back, it's just great to see the game evolve, where now these guys are like, hey, you know what? We're going to put this run style for the quarterback because he's the fastest guy in the league. And I think that's great coaching. I'm excited to see people start doing that a little bit more, because everybody's a little different. Not everybody can do the same things. And there's some things that people do a little bit better than others. I think that's good coaching, good creativity, and makes the game fun to watch.
Chris Redman is joining us here, a member of the 20th anniversary Super Bowl 35 champions. Dude, I should bug you more often. Like, you're one of my favorite dudes 20 years. I got pictures.
Dude.
You know, I'm going to share some of these funny old pictures that I found here, you know, for everybody to have a good time with.
That's
all of
hilarious.
Us, you know, over
it.
The years. Big Richard Mercier, right?
I mean, we know how
soon we forget all the legends. There you go. Hey. I got another one here. There's Femi with you. You see Femi there?
Femi Imbendazio. Yeah, he is my roommate forever, and we got in so many fights, but we had a blast. He's my dude.
I run into him across the harbor all the time. He lives here in the city, so Femi being out there. And I found one more picture for you here, and you tell me who these two good looking guys were. You remember this? Where was this picture taken? You remember?
Was that at the Derby or was that the Pimlico?
That was at the Derby.
That was at the Derby.
That's
at
Churchill Downs on Oaks Day.
How much fun was that?
It was Oaks Day. I got a tip on a horse. I didn't bet it. It cost me about $1,000. I had a great tip. I was in a bad mood when you
got. You know what? I was thinking about you because our favorite little spot the other day got tore down. Remember that spot that we always went to around the corner? There's a little bar right there on Bardstown Road. I forgot the name now. But they tore it down, and I was
Phoenix
thinking
Hill?
About you, like Phoenix Hill Tavern.
They tore the Phoenix Hill down. What?
Tore it down. Yeah, I know. You'll probably never come back to Louisville, but they tore it down.
Chris, so I saw things there at 3:30 in the morning the night before Preakness that just would have been a whole different chapter in a different book.
You see clothing on the
Oh, man, what a crazy place, man. The Velcro Pygmies. Ed Frankovic, I love you. I'm just shouting out Eddie because Reds, I've told a couple people this story, and I'm probably going to tell Stokely as well, and you mentioned Mike Flynn. First off, Flynn was supposed to be on a segment before you, and here's the fun part. You guys all have kids driving you nuts, right? I mean, I got a kitty. You know, my wife's battled cancer. She's doing great, and she's in the other room working. I'm in here. We're washing our hands, wearing masks, doing all that. So Flynn was supposed to come on, and you know his kid's in Broadway. I mean, you know the whole story. You were at his wedding.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Mary, the whole thing. He's got all these boys running around, and he couldn't do the Zoom today, and he sent me a picture of what his house. This is his kids right now. He's doing. He's tutoring four kids, so that's what happens in the middle of the play. Doesn't have time to talk 20th anniversary or Purple Rain memories or any of that.
Yeah, they're probably tutoring him. I'm pretty sure. He's got a more famous son than he was famous.
So let's go back 20 years ago. All right, let's go back to winning and the night in Tampa, and you almost get in the game, and then we win. I have a picture of you and me. I think at the party afterwards. At High West Shore, and then the parade happens. Do you remember the parade at all? What do you remember about
it? I do. Yeah, it was awesome. I just remember I couldn't believe how many people were out there, and you know it was kind of a cool night afternoon. And I just remember that was a ball. It's like something you kind of dream about being in, and next thing you know, bam, there you are. And I remember I think I was with Femi on his car, or whatever. We had a great time. I mean, it was awesome, awesome day. And just, you know, to be able to commemorate that was something amazing. And Ray getting up there and holding that trophy up was incredible, and happy for obviously the Modells. And that was a special time, and a lot of people came out. It wasn't the best day in the world, but everybody was there. It was raining. Yeah, that's right.
So this videotape that I'm running, if you're watching us out on YouTube right now, that I've been running, Flynn invited me onto his float that morning. I wasn't supposed to go. I was sick as a dog. I had been in Tampa. I had been in Philly doing national radio. I came back. I went down just to get guests. I think I was stalking you. Mulatalo was coming out the fire dance, and we knew that.
Ooh.
And I thought that if that's going to happen, some of you would come out. Kim Herring and I were close. I think Flinny and I were, you know, there were some guys, but I couldn't reach any of you. And I had to come down to the parade, and Billick, like, threatened me. He's like, get on the float. Flynn, take him. So I jumped up. And do you remember the video cameras you all got from David Modell?
Oh,
right?
Yeah. We got those,
I held the video camera,
cool.
Okay? And it was my job for an hour and 6 minutes. So the story goes like this. I shoot the video January 30th. I went down to Florida to hang out with Flynn and Kyle Richardson about 6 weeks later during spring training. The Orioles trained in Fort Lauderdale. And I saw the videotape in Flynn's house. And I said, give me that. Let me make a copy. He's like, no, no, no. I'll take care of it. 19 years later, Redmond, 19 years later, he found the tape after I beat the snot out of him. He does the show a lot. He comes on four times a year. You come on once a year, whatever. He comes on more frequently. And I beat him up.
You must have been holding that up because I know for the fact if you were holding that by your face, it'd be like in those people's
backs. Flynn held it. I have a picture of someone sent me from the crowd of Flynn holding the camera, wearing my hard hat, wearing my Raven Flying Bee helmet. So here's the deal. The tape is lost for 19 years. Flynn blames his parents. His parents blame him. He blames his wife. You know, Mary's blaming him. So finally, in June, he sends me the tape. Like, he found and sent me a picture.
Capsule, Nestor. That's awesome.
Dude,
I mean, it's cool.
I completely, you know, Greg Landry over at Blue Rock, who I love him. He did my wedding 18 years ago. He digitized it within hours. We Dropboxed it, and I now have it. The world owns it. I put it on YouTube last night, and I said I'm going to save it for the 30th anniversary. And here's why, bro. Here's why. How old are your kids?
13 and 11.
You think they'd like to see this? Pops up
absolutely.
Here doing this thing?
Absolutely. There's a lot of laughs up there. I promise you that. We had a ball.
Well, yeah, the beauty of the whole thing is that Flynn gave me the camera, and there's some angles here where a very robust young version of Little Nasty Nestor's in this. Flynn's in this. People are yelling from, you know, down on the streets. Flynn did not do a very good job of holding the camera steady. You could tell the difference when I was holding it, when the amateurs were
holding it. Right, right.
But we're out in front of the Cheesecake
Factory.
Send that
to me, man. I need that.
Well, it's up on YouTube, man. Feel free to share the link. You know, all the guys on the team. And, look at little Nestor.
Look at that.
Look at little Nestor there, huh?
So cute back in the day. Look at you.
You're probably in the video in the beginning because Flynn was pointing at everyone. If I put the beginning of this on, he was yelling at every person, every player. There's Spencer, his dad, yelling at it. And here's the deal. If you turn the sound up on this, all you're going to hear on this, Chris, is, who let the dogs out? Who? 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 And so there was a little bit of that going on. Big Ed with the American flag. But Eddie's doing his little fire dance. So that's a little gift that I want to give you because you guys gave me the gift of having we had a lot of fun, didn't we?
Oh man, it was a lot of laughs, and man, that was a close group. I mean, you were one of us too. Like, you were in there right in the middle. I mean, I felt like we kind of gave you, you know, put you in a headlock more than anybody else. I mean, that was just a lot of fun. I think
that was only Goose. I put the pictures of me sitting on his lap at the barn. So, you know, he's flying airplanes now, whatever the hell he's doing.
No, that was a special. I mean, obviously, anytime, you know, you win a championship, you think you're special, whatever. But that really was a special group, and what a bunch of characters. And it was just, you know, looking back and, gosh, you get so caught up in other things and you look back at some of that stuff and you don't realize how special a time it really was until you look back after 20 years like, oh, man, that was crazy. That was a lot of fun.
Should I, bother you more often about Lamar? I know if you're a Lamar expert, but you're certainly an alum and a colleague and
Absolutely.
You're there and you were a witness to all of it. I saw your boy Ragone got a gig recently, right? I mean, talking about all of you.
Yeah, he got an OC job in Atlanta. So, he's doing really well. I'm really happy for him. And I've been a Lamar fan ever since he showed up. And pretty much it was even before he played. It was like his work ethic. Like, as soon as he got to the facility, I mean, he was a workaholic. And I think everyone's starting to realize you're not going to see him out partying all the time. Like, he wants to do one thing. He wants to win championships, and he has got a great work ethic that really appreciate for someone his age. I think beyond his years, and I think he's a special person. And you can tell the relationship. It doesn't matter who it is on his team, will run through a wall for him, will do anything. And he's helping guys up on the ground. Like, he just does. And the way he, you know, handles the media, I just think he is a unique, special person. And he's obviously fun to watch. And I just think he's got a great future. It sounds like he's going to have a long future there in Baltimore.
Well, run me through the offense then, because you're the quarterback. You ran offenses. You're involved in this. To see this at the NFL level, talk about defending it and running it. Certainly not something you could do, right?
No, that was definitely out of my league. When I saw Michael Vick, when I actually saw Darius Thomas run down Michael Vick in a preseason game and break his ankle.
I was there. Like, there's no it was way. Incredible.
Yeah, there's no way I'm going to be running from anybody. And so I was like, I got to live by being accurate. And there's nothing wrong with that. Tom Brady did the same thing, you know, and still doing it. And so, like, there's great tangibles. Everyone has their, you know, a unique tangible to be a professional quarterback. And, you know, I found out quickly that mine was to put the ball where it needed to be put. And you know, so, but Lamar has a unique skill set, you know, just being able to get out of the pocket and knowing that you're the fastest guy with the ball in the hand, I would say in the NFL, him and I think Hill from Kansas City are probably the two fastest guys probably in the league right now. You know, you get in the open field, nobody wants to tackle you and or wants to get close to you because he's gonna do something to make you look stupid. And so that is a unique ability, and be able to go through your progression and then run, take off, is something that not a lot of guys have that ability to do. So he's got some opportunities. I think he could definitely work on. I think he's getting a little bit too sidearmish as far as just throwing in the pot. There's a time to throw sidearm when the guy's got his hand up and everything, but to be a little bit more accurate, I think coming over the top, I think that could help him out a little bit as far as, you know, in a regular good pocket with nobody in front of you, your odds of being a little bit a higher completion percentage would be better if you come over the top than on the side. But, you know, he makes it work. And I think those are things that he's just going to get better and better. Those are little bitty fixes that can take him from, you know, being a great quarterback to being a legendary Hall of Fame quarterback.
We're talking all things Super Bowl 35. And, you know, it's not often I put people together. I was going to say, Redmond, Costa needs a wide receiver. And I'm thinking he drafted this guy, drafted you. He needs a weapon like a Stokely is what he needs. He needs that zig and that zag. Right, Brandon?
That's right, man. I mean, what a surprise. I mean, I log in here and I see Red, you know, I'm like, and of course, you know, he's driving in his car. I'm like, seriously, I mean, can you pull over to do the Zoom meeting, Red? I mean,
hey, what's man, I'm going 80 miles an hour right now. I'm not even looking at the road.
Let me just say this. Brandon Stokely's in the room now. Chris mentions you a few minutes ago. Since I'm still close with Stokely, and I've talked to all of you guys this week, right? And I'm moving people around. Stokely moved me by – both you SOBs moved me. You both were supposed to be on yesterday. You both moved me. Then, so it's all cool. Flynn canceled on me altogether because he's tutoring his kids. So I got pictures of that here, right? So, you know, it's 20 years later and we're landing planes and, you know, doing all this stuff. And I figured, why not bring the two of you together since you love each other so much?
Well, if I have an excuse, though. I was actually working. Stokely was proud. Who knows what Stokely was
golfing with Peyton. Cards.
He's probably golfing with Peyton. They're playing cards in the locker room, whatever, over at the country club. Yeah,
listen. I had a busy day. We got a lot of snow here yesterday, so I had a busy day. I was just running around, just figured that, you know, could push it back a day.
Well, that you look at the serendipity of both of you pushing it back that we all get together here.
It was meant to be.
Perfect.
It was meant to be. I get to see my man Red. Hadn't seen him in a while. He's looking good, like always.
You look at you. You're looking sharp. Comb your hair now.
We're both losing hair, it looks like.
I knew Stokely when he had a Mazda. What was it? The 626. Remember the Mazda?
Green. Yeah. It was green.
Teal green.
By the time I was in Baltimore, it was more like a almost a bluish green that it was.
You and Big Drink, Ryan Collins, man. Y'all be rolling around in the green machine. I love it.
What the amazing part of this is how young y'all were. I already busted Redmond, so I'm going to come get you now, Stokely. So, you know, how young we all were, right? Literally,
wow.
Right?
Wow. Look at that picture.
I think those are frosted tips on Nestor, too.
No. That was natural, Reds. I was trying to look like you.
Why'd you?
I had them, you know, me and Nestor both had them. It was a cool thing to do back then.
All the baseball players were doing it, as I remember. This is one of my favorites. And Reds, I know you got to go, and because we're gonna bust your chops, and I want to talk some shop with Brandon as well. But this is literally right after the game at the Hyatt West Shore. I have a whole series of pictures. I went person to person and took. Look at how young we were, Brandon. Look at that.
I know. That's my grandfather in the back, too. Yeah, that's a great picture, man. Brings back a lot of great memories. What a night that was. That
football was families, fun. Both of you, man, right? Literally.
That's it. That's it, man. I remember being out there on that field with Red before the game, and we were just messing around, talking, and just what a cool experience that was. I'll never forget, you know, that whole week, obviously, couple in that whole season. But that day was special, and I remember being out there on the field pregame with Red, just kind of walking around, taking it all in.
I don't remember you guys before the game. I do remember Ray Charles, though. I got memories of all that. You know, 20 years later for both of you, and Reds, before I let you go, I'll give you a parting shot on this, and Brandon and I will have a visit, but what did it do for your life 20 years later? Like, you talk about showing the ring off to kid in Louisville that has never seen a Super Bowl ring or whatever. You know, I would think even for every Lamar you run into or everybody around the program, that there's something about winning a Super Bowl, you know, that it never leaves you. And maybe only comes back every 5 years when the team sends you a bottle of wine during the middle of a plague and we can't get together, although hopefully y'all will come in here and we'll do this the right way at some point. But it's affected my life. I mean, it affected my life greatly over the last 20 years.
Yeah. It's amazing what, you know, one game can do. And I was pretty much, I was on the sidelines and I was more helping practice than I was in the game, but at the same time, just to be a part of that. And then to have a Super Bowl champion, you know, to your resume. And when people announce you, hey, here's a Super Bowl champion, you know, coming up to the stage or whatever. And that's something that nobody can take from you, that it's an experience that until you're there, you don't realize how special it is. And, you know, I'll never forget it. And I know Brandon's the same way. And he was obviously a big part of it. But, you know, Brandon makes you feel just as good as anybody for being a part of that team. And we had some special players, and I feel very blessed to be, you know, a part of that team and in any way I could, and just happy to get all the guys together. And, you know, 20 years flies, and I'm just happy to see everybody. Hopefully everybody is doing well. And yeah, I really appreciate, you know, being a part of that.
All right, man. My RIP to the Phoenix Hill. I think Stokely was there with us one night, if I'm not mistaken, at Kentucky Derby, weren't you? Didn't you come in for the Derby?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went to the Derby one time.
With us?
I went twice, once with Red.
Well, I have a picture of the three of us together at the Derby, if I'm not mistaken.
Art Modell gave us the suite tickets.
That is correct.
Yeah, that's right. Shout out I remember Brandon Stokely had a Louisville Slugger bat and was hitting me in the back of the shin like Nancy Kerrigan, man. I went down. He was a little crazy with these Louisville Slugger bats here, but we had
I don't
a good
know
time.
What you're talking about.
Yeah,
you see do. That? Talking about. In the hometown of Muhammad Ali, he's trying to knock you out, Reds. Chris, take care, right, man? We'll see you soon. I'm going to go bug Stokely and show him the Super Bowl parade video, all right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got
see
that
you,
doing. See you, Stokely.
You,
all right. So I'm, you know, bringing people together, Stokes, is what I do. You know what I mean?
That was awesome. That
I've been
was a
doing
surprise.
This for 20
you
years.
Tell me. You didn't tell me that was going to happen. So, you know, me and Red, we're on a text chain that we keep going with Brad Jackson. And so it's, you know, it keeps us kind of in touch. And so it's fun. But I don't get to see those guys a lot. So that was a nice treat to hop on and see my good buddy, Chris Redmond.
Man, you have told me for years about the house that Peyton built. Now I feel like I'm in there. You know, we've been doing all this room raiding. You know, I got my leg lamp here. I got my magma, the whole deal. Oh, you know, my sponsors, the world famous chicken that you can't get in Denver, which
there
is fine.
Go.
We get that here in Baltimore. But you got your little thing back there. You know,
I do.
You.
I got a little, you know, I got my Ravens Super Bowl jersey right there.
Nice.
With my gloves and my sweatband still in there, never washed. And I just have a lot of memorabilia in here in my office. You know, I got a picture of my dad back there.
Look at that. Raging Cajuns. Look at you.
Yeah, my Raging Cajun jersey. My dad played quarterback at LSU, me and Peyton.
Do you have the ball that you caught in the end zone in there?
Which one?
No, come on. The touchdown in the Super Bowl that landed in front of me.
I mean,
you got that ball.
Oh, I mean, I caught so many of them. Of course I got that. I mean, that's the showpiece, right? Can you see it?
Yeah, that's why people put the programming on. That's why
there
people come to Baltimore Positive right there.
That's right. There it is. So, yeah, I got just some cool memorabilia stuff in here and, you know, from my career and so this is the office kind of – cluttered together, but a lot of stuff and a lot of memories, you know, a lot of great memories. And obviously it started in Baltimore.
I went to Marvin's house for dinner back in September, and I had him on a show this week, and I outed him. You know, I said, I was in his house, we're having a little wine, social distance, all that. I said, the only thing I could tell you about Marvin's house is he only had one thing that was sports jersey related, and it was Rod Woodson's Ravens jersey.
That's a good one to have. That's a good one to have.
I guess all these years later and what it means to you, man, you played a long time, right? I mean, it feels like 10 minutes ago you were here. You caught balls from Flacco, for crying. I mean, you know, sort of bridging generations and all of that. And Tom Brady's still doing it. And I don't even want to, we'll bring that up a little later in the program because I know you had some days with him. I saw one of them up in the snow up in New England earlier in your career as well. Thoughts about 20 years and what this represents and how, same question for Chris. I mean, how it affected your life and how it's defined who you are as well as the rest of it. Every opportunity you ever got after that, well, you won a Super Bowl. He was on a winning team.
Yeah. Certainly, you know, it's the biggest stage. You got, you know, so many people watching that game and, you know, to be able to be a little bit of a part of it and catch a touchdown and to win it, you're always the rest of your life known as a Super Bowl champion. And people are always kind of like, oh, you're the one that caught that touchdown, Seahorn, overpass Seahorn. I'm like, yep, that was me. So you're always remembered for certain things and certainly to be part of a Super Bowl champion and a really cool play with Trent Dilfer. And it was a memorable season. So yeah, and that's something that people, it just resonates with people. You know, it's the biggest, football is king here in this country. And, you know, the Super Bowl is it. And so, you know, I kind of pinch myself sometimes, especially on, you know, here in a couple weeks when the Super Bowl's on, like, man, I played in that game. I was there. And I caught a touchdown and we won it. So it's a really cool thing, but sometimes, you know, I have to kind of, like I said, pinch myself a little bit that, you know, I was actually in that game and it was just, you know, it's great memories and it's always great to, you know, catch up with the old fellas and you know, which we'll be doing here. And it's always great to talk to you because you always bring it up and I love it.
Well, I mean, you know, I got the patch. I hadn't put this one on in a number of years. Somebody thought it was an Ogden jersey because it kind of looks like a 75 and there's a 7 and a 5 on it, but it's a, you know, it's 1570 and the shoulder pads aren't in, but
love it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all the memories and the pictures and you know, I'll pull some stuff out here that you know, a lot of the stuff's coming off the walls and I'm selling it off, giving it away. And I found this picture's kind of big, so it didn't fit like in a regular place. And I found it at the bottom of a pile. It hadn't been looked at in 20 years. It was developed on February 23rd of 01. And this is this is David carrying a trophy.
Yeah.
And for anybody from Baltimore, this is a really special thing. Cause if you look over here where the facility was, this is the same vantage point when the Baltimore Colts and the Mayflower, this is the Mayflower picture without the Mayflower, but with David Modell right. And the trophy in it. Someone had taken this to me professionally, left it, it's made a copy, never made the wall, never made a digital copy. And I found it 19 years later. There's still stuff, you know, that you right. Find it and it reminds you of the place or the time or all these Whiskey Joe's pictures. When you think about it, what do you think about other than catching that ball, which you have a pretty special memory?
You know, I think about just, you know, me being fortunate to make that football team, that year, didn't have a great training camp. And, you know, I was inactive for the first 8-9 weeks of the season and, got an opportunity, you know, Travis Taylor broke his collarbone, got an opportunity. You know, just tried to make the most of that opportunity. So, I think about a football team that was scrappy, a football team that just kind of kept its head down and kept plugging away. And we found our identity and we were playing our best football at the end. And we just believed in ourselves and we had fun. It was a lot of fun being on that team. I was a young football player, so I really didn't know what I was getting into. You know, just a little Cajun from South Louisiana. And all of a sudden I'm playing in the NFL and we go on this great run. But it was just so much fun. So many great guys, characters and it was just one of those moments and times that you always look back on and it's like, wow, that was a special time. And obviously when you finish it off with the Super Bowl, you know, that stays with you forever.
So it's been a weird couple of weeks because I found that picture of David a couple of weeks ago. Larry King died a couple days ago, and he wrote about my book, strangely enough, in USA Today. And he called it a good read. It was wonderful, whatever. And I hadn't thought about that book. I mean, I've written another book since then when we won, right? So I haven't looked at that book or picked it up. It was more first person. I like my second book a whole lot better than the first book. I thought it was, you know, I was a better writer 13 years later. So I haven't really looked at it. And I thought about, what did I write about? Like, what was my theme and what was my thought? Where was my headspace? And just the fact that what a miracle it was that we had a team, right? Because 4 years before you came here, there was no team and we were getting the Redskins piped in. I was rooting for the Houston Oilers and there was never a thought we were going to... We didn't think it was possible. We didn't think the league would let us in ever, right? And now we got a team. Now we're winning a Super Bowl. And I remember the book. One of the things of the book was the structure of Billick and Modell and what that meant. But more than that, the way the team was fun. That team was fun. Everything about Brian was fun. Yeah, I don't want to say John's not fun, you know, but it's not as fun, certainly not for me. And it doesn't look like it's fun for a lot of teams. Even winning with Belichick didn't look like fun. I mean, I don't know your experiences. Peyton looked like it was fun when Peyton was winning, and Peyton won a lot. So when Peyton was pissed, it wasn't fun. I mean, I saw the Peyton pout, right? You know what I mean? And the anger of a quarterback when things were. I would just say this, the fun you had and the fun it was kept. I've been around, look, I've covered hockey, basketball, football, I've covered all of it. Most teams don't have fun. I mean, it's not about winning or losing. Some of it does feel a little drudgy, you know what I mean? And I know you were probably on some of those teams, right?
Oh, yeah. But that team was fun. You know, you just had guys, you know, Sarah Gusa, Shannon Sharp, you know, I mean, you name them. I mean, Brad Jackson. You just had characters all the way up and down the roster. And it was a fun group and you know, Trent Dilfer was a perfect match for us offensively and guys resonated to him. And it was, that's what we did. It was just fun. You know, when your leaders on your football team can kind of turn it on and turn it off, that's what it's all about. So we enjoyed ourselves. We had fun. And then when it was time to take care of business, you know, we went out and took care of business.
I would say for being an underdog or maybe, I didn't go to Nashville expecting you to win. I hoped you'd win, and you won, and it felt awesome. And then we went to Oakland, and it was 3,000 miles. It's on the road, and I thought we could win. But if we don't win, man, we went to the champ. You know what I mean? Like, we're 3 years into having a team. I would think it was probably a lot different when you got to Indianapolis, right? And what were you, 14-1, 14-2, 15? You were on those kind of teams. You were on really good teams where the level of expectation can eat you up. Literally, yeah. Right? I mean,
yeah. You know, in Baltimore, that's a good point. You know, we're playing with house money. I mean, there was no expectations. And, you know, we weren't a number one seed. We had to do it the hard way, like you said, you know, go on the road for those final two playoff games. And, you know, we just didn't really think about it because there wasn't really expectations to go to the Super Bowl. And it was different once I got to Indy, especially in year two there, year three, year four, that it was Super Bowl or bust. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, in Baltimore, we were just having fun. And in Indy, it became a grind because you do have those expectations. You do hear about them and you do know that if you don't, you know, win the Super Bowl, it's a failure. So but it was certainly different there in Baltimore because there was nothing. And, you know, we just kind of went out and just played and had fun.
Give me a little COVID look, Brandon. Brandon Stokely joining us here out in Denver. Still doing sports radio, still Peyton's neighbor and golf buddy, and kids are getting older and all that. Boy, this has been a hell of a year, huh? I mean, all the way around for everybody, right? No matter how much money you have, how much freedom you have, how much kids, football, whatever. This has just been really, you know, everyone's having a weird year.
Yeah, you know, it stinks. Obviously, it's not ideal, not fun. So, you know, you especially with kids, you know, are they in school? Are they out of school?
How many kids are you now? Where are you in that journey?
I have two. I have a junior and an eighth grader. And, you know, my junior's pretty much been in school the whole time.
Playing ball?
He's playing baseball, no football. He's had two major leg surgeries in the past year. Kept dislocating his kneecap, got that fixed, and then snapped his tibia in October playing baseball, running. So it's been a tough year for him. But he's on.
I was going to say, my name's Aparicio. I'm okay with baseball. I'm good with baseball.
But he's doing well, and my youngest is doing great. He's in the eighth grade, and but it's been, you know, it's been tough. I just, like for everybody, you just try to navigate these waters and stay as healthy as possible, and do your part, and hopefully we're getting this thing back to normal again. Because, you know, I love going to sporting events. I love bringing my kids to sporting events, and you know, really couldn't do that this year. I got to go to one Broncos game this year, and then that was it. That was the last time that they allowed fans there. So they kind of let you have some fans, and they took it away again. So
I went to three games, man. I went down to Houston, and I sat on the roof in that big dome with nobody in there in the middle of a hurricane. And I, you know, I'm down there and I'm like, what am I doing? And then I went to Philly and Washington. There were no fans in Washington. There were some fans in Philly. By the time I got to Philly, there were 5,000, whatever. It didn't even look like it was any fun for the fans. It looked like paying to be there wouldn't be worth paying to be there. You know, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, it just wasn't the same type of an environment, not what we're used to, certainly. So hopefully we can get this thing back going. I was able to play a lot of golf, though, this year, a little bit more so than normal, especially when it first started, because that was the one place you could go and be social distanced and also and be outside.
Well, we had some outdoor bars here, but, you know, just for me, I mean,
right. Yeah. So I was able to be outside and play a lot of golf. So you try to take some positives from it, but certainly hoping that we can get this thing back to normal and be, you know, able to fly wherever and do whatever and watch sporting events like we're used to watching. And, you know, it's a bummer that we're not going to be able to be together for our reunion.
Get your bottle of wine.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's been showing off the bottles of wine. I mean, there's a Zoomer, right? I mean, but at some point we'll bring all you guys in here. We'll have crab cakes like we should.
That's right. That's right. Oh, I know it, you know, but it's so nice of the Ravens to put this together like they're doing, and then to send the bottle of wine, a couple nice cigars. Can't wait to partake in that. Got my cutter here too.
Nice. Right, look at that.
So really, really nice of the Ravens organization. Always first class, man. Just love Steve Bisciotti and all those people over there. So it hadn't changed a ton, you know, from when I was there in the beginning, when we won the Super Bowl to when I left in 2013, a lot of familiar faces still there. And even today, and it's still a first-class organization. They do things the right way. And I'm just so proud to have been a Baltimore Raven and to have started my career there and also finished my career there. So, and they're doing it all right again here to celebrate this great achievement that we had. And so I'm looking forward to it and just thankful to be a part of that organization and that football team.
Brandon, I'm just thankful that football that you caught, which I predicted during media day, I went up to you, I said, you're going to catch one. I knew it. I did. I predicted it. And you caught it to start the game right in front of me. I was about five rows up, you know, under the pirate ship off the field and close enough to see Britney Spears, really up close at halftime, I'd say. But you caught the ball coming right to me, right at me. And I saw the ball coming up. I saw you had him beat. And you celebrated right in front of me. And the fact that I've now seen the football 20 years to the day that I actually have now seen, I feel like I want to reach and touch it, you know, just touch the football there. But
well, you got to come out here and visit.
You know what? I am always up for a show at Red Rocks. If there I'm at it, Red Rocks with you with an adult libation on a beautiful night under the Rocky Mountains, I will know that the plague's in the rearview mirror. How about
that's
that?
Right. It doesn't get better than that. Red Rocks, amphitheater, listen to some good music with a good night. That's what it's all about. Yeah.
Let's pack up the tailgate, the old Stokely Mobile, and head to Morrison. Let's go.
I'm in. That's right. I'm in. I love it, man. I love it.
Well, give Peyton our best. Tell him I think he's going to get in the Hall of Fame. I'm feeling okay about that. What a weird year getting the Hall of Fame, too, right? Like, oh, everything's weird, right? Like, celebrating wise or, you know, being honored in some way. But he's a Hall of Famer, right? You'll agree with that, right?
I definitely agree with it.
Nobody's out in the yard questioning what, you know, nothing like that happening, right?
Right. Yeah. No, he's good.
He's got the weekend free in August. He knows he's good.
Yeah. I think he probably blocked off a week or two there just in case something happens. But it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. You know, how many people they let in there to watch it and view it and what's going to happen. I don't know. So.
Well, I know it's important to you. I mean, you know, he goes to Hall, you know, it means something. It means a lot to you, right? For anybody, right?
Certainly. I mean, we were teammates for 5 years, 4 years in Indy, 1 year here in Denver in 2012. And I consider him, you know, a great friend. And so I see him a lot. And so he's, you know, he's a special person. He was a special football player, but he's a great guy. Does so many things for people and charities and organizations. So, it does mean a lot to me because, you know, I was a little bit of a part of it. That's anytime that you have a teammate that goes into the Hall of Fame, it's special. And somebody like that I got to spend 5 years with, it means a lot to me.
I remember you talking about him when you played here in the beginning. You knew him for Louisiana, right?
Yeah. I knew him in college. That's when we first met, working at his Manning Passing Academy down there in Southeast Louisiana.
I'm telling you, I got tapes of you and me from back. I have all those old pictures. I have the tapes of it all. And I remember you saying, I spent the summer with Peyton and whatever. And I'm like, well, don't have him recruiting your ass to Indianapolis, you know.
I got to see some of your old pictures, man. I mean, you had some flashbacks there when I saw us doing some radio, the Super Bowl, you know, my grandfather in the back. I mean, it's just it's awesome. I got a picture here, right here. This is it. I mean, that's my
show and tell.
That's my grandfather right there in that picture that night. That Super Bowl picture.
Oh my
right here.
Look goodness!
Look at that, and that's him and my sister in the background. But you know, for me, that's what it was all about. Destiny, it was about, you know, we got to sit down at that table. I had my dad on my right, I had my grandfather on my left, I had my sisters there, and just family. And it was just like, wow, you know, I just couldn't
believe.
That's
your sister in the background right there.
That's it. You see my grandfather with that hat on.
And those pictures are a reach away, man, from you. You know,
they were just right up there. I got them in office. I mean, it was just a special time for me to be able to sit back and just take it all in and just – like, wow, you know, we actually won the Super Bowl and I got to enjoy it with my family, my biggest support system around me, the people that have supported me all my life and helped me get to that point. You know, we got to celebrate it together. So it was, that's what it's all about.
And the food was good too, as I remember it too. So
I don't remember the food, but I'm sure it was.
I was really hungry, and I didn't even play. Brandon Stokely is here. Yeah, if you stay two more minutes, you're going to run into Jack Del Rio. So I'm going to let you go. Take care of yourself.
I said hi. You know, Jack. I see Jack. You know, his wife's from down South Louisiana, my hometown, Lafayette. So tell Jack Del Rio I said hi.
Linda from Lafayette. I'll make sure we know that.
That's it, Lafayette. All right, buddy.
Brandon, I appreciate you, man. Hit him straight out there, and keep working on the golf game, and I'll get out to Denver, and we'll get a concert in, all right?
Love it. Always appreciate you, Nestor. Be good. Stay safe. Stay healthy. See you, my man.
I need to trip up the boulder before it's all over with. Brandon Stokely joining us here from somewhere near Cherry Creek, Colorado, in the house that Peyton built. And 20 years later, we are celebrating all things Super Bowl 35. I've got pictures and trophies and partners and dearly departed and Marvin Lewis and Mike Smith and Jack Del Rio and all sorts of players, Goose, Mulatalo, Flynn, they're all stopping by. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.